Welcome to Tough Talk Christian Radio. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help take you to the next step in your relationship with Christ. Tough Talk Christian Radio is brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Tony Gambone.
Well, good morning, everyone. I hope everyone is having a great Thursday. I know it's hard to believe it's the third day of December. And for me, that's when my sinuses start up. So here in Houston, the weather drops down from 80 degrees to 40 for a half hour in the middle of the night and then 50 during the day. So excuse my voice today. It's not as loud as it usually is. That might be a blessing to a lot of you. But I'm doing my best to stay on board with having a voice. So anyway, great show lined up today. We're going to be talking about building character, confidence, and authenticity. And if you listen to my show, any of the shows on the Tough Talk Radio Network, we're all about character, confidence, and authenticity. So today's show, we have two great guests lined up. We'll bring them up here in a little bit, Dr. Susan Queering and Darren LaCroix. Two different sides of the coin. We have someone talking, they're both speakers and authors, but one's a dance instructor, and one is a stand-up who, it's got a very interesting story. As you know, every week I try to bring in guests that will connect their world to our world through the Lord. And that's not always easy, but I have found it was easier than I ever thought. When it comes to speaking about Jesus or my journey with the Lord, I found that once I started speaking about it, it was very easy to get responses. I never realized that so many people were willing to talk about it. I thought it was something that you shouldn't bring up in too many places. Now, of course, I don't think we're supposed to shove it down anyone's throat. We're just supposed to make the opportunity available to have conversation. And if that happens, then we can move forward. And if it doesn't, well, hey, we did our part, right? For me, it's all about sharing the message of your journey with the Lord to others so that they can build the confidence and be empowered and gain the character and become authentic in their message as well. A lot of times we feel as though our message isn't good enough. And I'm here to tell you, you're wrong. Every one of us has a very important story. The journey in our lives, how we've gotten to where we are, the ups and downs, the things that we've had to overcome. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you know the strength that comes from that. If you're not a follower of Jesus, well, there's ways to take care of that as well. You can go to a church nearby you and meet the pastor there, meet the community. Find a church that fits what you're looking for. And say the prayer. You can accept Jesus into your heart at any time. You can be driving down the road. You can be standing on your head. You can be sitting in a church. That part doesn't matter. All you have to do is be willing to forgive yourself and allow Jesus to forgive you and take on that journey. I highly recommend it. I also want to mention that for 52 years I fought that battle of not doing it. And now it's been going on 6 years that I've accepted the Lord, and my life has never been so rewarding or so much easier to understand. Now, I didn't say it's easier. It was just easier to understand. So, anyway, as I mentioned, we got a great show. My first guest, Dr. Susan Queering, is one of my co-authors in our second Share Your Message with the World book, and that is a book where people come and tell their journeys in life. So I'm very excited about having her on the show. My second guest is a humorous keynote and co-author of Laugh and Get Rich. Interesting story about how he decided one day to start tithing. So we got some great stuff. We're going to cover a lot of different things here today. But before we get started, I want to make sure that everybody knows how to find us. You can go to toughtalkradionetwork.com, find any of the shows. You can go to toughtalkchristianradio.com, and you can find this show live right now or archived later. You can go to Tough Talk Radio Network on Facebook, Tony Gambone on Facebook. You can basically type in Tony Gambone or Tough Talk Radio in any social media bar or Google search, and we'll pop up. We hope that you stop by and give us a like. We hope that you call into the show and give us your opinion, 347-989-1363, or ask questions. You don't have to agree with us. You just have to participate with us. I'm always excited if someone can bring a different side of it to the show. You can always become a guest on the show. If you have something in your life that's happened that you want to share with our Christian community, you can go to toughtalkchristianradio.com and register to be a guest. We're always looking for people to share their message. I want to talk about something that's on my heart this week. I lead a Bible study for couples, and I lead one for men. And last night was the last of a journey through a small group studies for Ephesians. And they talked about, at the end of Ephesians, the last chapter, Ephesians 6, I think it was 10 through 24. But they talked about the armor. You know, Paul was writing a letter, he was in prison, and he talked about, the different things, a breastplate, a helmet, a sword, and a belt. And they didn't realize what all these things meant. So I was very interested in learning more about that, and I have someone sending me some information that's going to explain more about it. But if you could take a chance today and look at that chapter in Ephesians, we always leave the house in the mornings. Most of us leave half-dressed. We don't suit up in God's armor. I just hope that everyone will take a chance and read Ephesians 6, 10 through 24. And Ephesians is all about grace and mercy, so I found. And I always had a hard time with grace. I didn't really understand it. And it was like a light bulb, this small group series, that, grace comes in place of punishment. And, it's just kind of hard for me to accept. So I'm on board with it now and excited about that. But if you get a chance, I just wanted to bring that up. Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verses 10 through 24. Another thing I decided to do this week was start memorizing one verse out of the Bible every week. Now, I'm going to use myself as an example, because for me, memorizing stuff has always seemed to be difficult. So sometimes you don't give ourselves enough credit for what we can do. So as I went to the Google search bar and typed in scriptures to memorize, I think that's how I put it in there. Let me tell you what verse came up that caught my eye. Mark 11:24. Now remember, I said I had trouble in my mind thinking that I could memorize stuff very easily. So I gave myself a week every day to memorize this verse. And Mark 11:24 says, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you have received it, and it will be yours." Kind of coincidental, I don't think so, that I didn't have enough confidence in myself to memorize something, and now I found a verse that says all I have to do is believe you will receive it when I pray. And so if I pray for the Lord to help me memorize this verse, instead of asking him, thanking him for helping me memorize this verse. So it says right in the Bible, and I had a, you have to excuse me, because it was an aha moment for me. I always say I never find stuff that really relates to what I'm thinking about when I'm reading. So that was my experience with that this week. Mark 11:24. Maybe that's one that you can memorize. Or maybe you have a verse that you like. I have one in Ephesians 6:7. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord. That's been in my signature for a while. But I've been really big on Mark 8:24. So anyway, 11:24. One of the things is that I'm trying this year to make sure, in the next year I should say, that I start memorizing more verses. And by doing that, I believe that I will be able to help people if we're having conversation and they're stuck on something. And also help myself. Because there's times when we're challenged and we don't know what to do. we don't know where to open up the Bible and go to work at. So sometimes if you memorize verses, well, God will work through that with you. Okay, so remember, Ephesians 6, 10 through 24, and Mark 11, 24. Check it out. Give me your feedback. We're going to take a commercial break. We're going to come back with my first guest, Dr. Susan Query, who's just been traveling around the world, actually. She's here in the Texas area. She's about an hour and a half's ride from where I'm at in Houston, in a town called College Station. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to get with Susan. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Live at Choice, where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live at Choice choose to make a difference. Live at Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveatchoice.com to get started.
Lauren Jano is an elite international certified high performance coach, author, and speaker with over 15 years experience helping clients transform so that they are living bolder, happier, and more successful lives. Through a combination of her world-class coaching program and exclusive assessments, her mission is to get to the crux of your issues quickly and accurately, and then guide you to achieve sustained and higher levels of clarity, joy, energy, connection, influence, and overall performance in every area of your life. To learn more or to contact Lauren, go to laurenjano.com.
If you know someone who wants the legal A-team on their side, have them call on Altenburn & Associates, the Legal Eagle, today. David Altenburn is an experienced and recognized top lawyer in Houston who will put an eagle's eye to protecting the client's best interests at all times. For any personal injury, family law, or business law concern, Altenburn & Associates can help with our connections that count and make a difference for great results. We work hard for the justice our clients deserve, earning client trust and opponent respect, one case at a time. For legal help, call 281-904-6330 today.
Okay, welcome back to Tough Talk Christian Radio. My name is Tony Gambone. You'll find me here every Thursday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time on the Tough Talk Radio Network. My first guest, as I mentioned, is Dr. Susan Query. She's an author, a speaker, a dance instructor. She's a creator of business, Brazo Valley Cotillion and Class Act Etiquette, a dining, dance, and social skills course for today's young people. Well, we surely know we need that for young people, and some of us old people, too. Her broad-based career includes a Texas A&M professorship, tenure as 4-H agent. I'm going to stop reading here because I'm getting ready to start coughing with this little sinus thing I'm having, and I want Susan to start telling us about herself. Susan, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Tony. Glad to be here.
I had a mouthful of words going on there, and it seemed like my lips were going faster than my voice. So anyway, I want to say, first of all, thank you very much for taking time out to be with us today here on the show. And I know that I mentioned that you're in College Station, which is about an hour and a half or so outside of Houston area. So tell us where you're from originally.
Well, I'm originally from Kansas. I grew up in Wichita, Kansas, went to school at Kansas State University, and came to Texas in 1985 with a job at Texas A&M University, doing something totally unrelated to what I currently do.
What was that?
Well, I was in Kansas, a county extension home economist, part of the Kansas Cooperative Extension Service. That is a county, state, and federal organization. And then I came to Texas as a housing specialist with the Texas Ag Extension Service, which is currently now called the Texas AgriLife Service. And so that's what I was doing. And at the same time, I was teaching ballroom dance on the side, just kind of for the fun of it. And what happened is I had this wonderful career going, and I had an opportunity through my job to go to Mexico to learn Spanish. And living with a family, I was there for 7 weeks in a total Spanish immersion program, and I became very immersed, all right, in parasites. And I came home very, very ill with parasites. And it was kind of funny. When I got on the plane to go down to Mexico, I said to a friend of mine, you know, Texas A&M has me going down there for, you know, to learn Spanish to see if this program works. And I have a real funny feeling that God has something totally different planned with this. And then 7 weeks later, that started unfolding. And I went through a very, very lengthy illness, like 5 years, of trying to regain my health. And in that time, I started teaching a little more of the ballroom dance. But, you know, Tony, the most exciting thing, I was praying about all of this, you know, well, gee, I need to make a living. What am I going to do here? And I started making a list of the things I like to do, what I was good at, what audience I enjoyed working with, you know, what are my skills, talents. And I went to the Cove, Billy Graham's Conference Center in Asheville, North Carolina, and I was sitting there listening to a speaker, and at the same time I was praying, and I'd say, God, is there some kind of a ministry in dance? And I was almost kind of like laughing at that prayer. And all of a sudden, I heard the speaker say, you know, I like to liken my relationship with Jesus Christ to ballroom dance. And, of course, my head shot up, and I thought, what? What is he saying? And, you know, he went on to talk about our relationship with Jesus Christ is like a dance relationship on the floor. There is only one lead, and there is a follow. The longer that we follow the steps of the one that's leading, the more comfortable we become, and we get into that flow and that rise and fall with the daily happenings of life. And he went on and on. And I thought, okay, God, I'm taking that as confirmation that this is okay to start this business. And I moved forward from there. And it went from not just the ballroom dancing. I started with teaching adults only. And then I've always been very interested in manners and etiquette for children and, you know, a polite society. And so I'd been well-trained as a child with my mother and my grandmother. And so I decided to get certified as an etiquette coach and wrote my own program, started working with children and teenagers. That has worked its way into college students, doing a lot of seminars at the university to get them ready for those job interviews, and also working with businesses, adults, you know, small businesses, larger businesses, in etiquette and protocol. And that's kind of it in a nutshell of how I got where I am.
Okay, so there's a lot of information there, and I made a couple notes of things that I want to talk to you about. First of all, the praying, you know, or just kind of making a funny or sarcastic comment, you know, at an event that you're at, and that ballroom came up as a conversation from the person in front of the room, which had no idea what you were doing, even that you were even in a seat there. And so I find that pretty crazy. When you came home from that and decided to do this, and you told people that, did they look at you funny? Did they just get behind you and support you? What was the response like from them?
I think it definitely depended on where they were in their own Christian walk, you know. A lot of people, you know, were very definitely, because I had prayed about this a lot, and I kept searching the Bible for, you know, is this okay? I had talked to my own pastor. I talked to other godly people, you know, about the, I'd like to start this ballroom dance, but as a ministry to help people. And there's a lot of ways that that has happened, which we can talk about. But when that, I had been in such deep prayer over it that when I finally was at this Bible conference at the Cove, and this pastor just happened to mention the very thing I'm talking about, it really got my attention. I did immediately go to another pastor while I was at that conference, and I said, here is where I am in this. I just heard this pastor say this, and I feel like this is confirmation it's all right for me to move forward. And his comment to me was, he said, yes, if you're feeling that, you definitely need to start moving forward. If you read God wrong, he'll shut the door. But if that was correct, he'll open the doors. And that is exactly what has happened. But he did make one comment. He said, you're going to be in leadership. Some more will be expected of you, as it talks about in the book of James. I think it's James 3. And that's what I have found over the years, that as I keep, before I go to class, I'll say, God, show me if there's a hurting person in my class or someone that needs to talk. And there's just been situation after situation. Right now I work a lot with wedding couples, getting them ready for that first dance as husband and wife. And many of them have said to me, are you sure you're not a marriage counselor? I always recommend a few books to them, and I talk to them about that the dance relationship of how we work well together on the floor is very much like a good marriage relationship, that we're there as a partnership and to help each other, and that if the husband truly leads and is very clear in his communication with what he's wanting, and he's trying to be very, make his moves very clear and easy for his partner to follow, then the follow in turn, trying to keep her form, her frame, and be the very best partner she can be and listen to his body as it moves, it becomes a great partnership. And it's just so similar to our relationships in life.
You know, you really touched on something there. A lot of couples live in a very noisy environment, and they don't connect with each other with a lot of great excuses of their own. Okay, not that it helps to have excuses, but they have reasons in their own mind why they can't do that. And I have found that in my own relationship, if I take the time out to do my side of the dance properly, the other side always seems to work out. So that's, I think that's kind of a lifelong type of thing. I mean, whether you're a student in a school with friends that are other students, or in a marriage, in a business setting, or anywhere else, it's really important to understand who the person that you sit next to in school or in the office or that you have to work with on a team or that you bed down with at night. I mean, it just really is important that people understand and take time to learn how to understand. So that brings me to a question, Susan. When you're teaching someone how to dance, they have to recognize certain things, just like we were talking about in a relationship. What are the 2, 3, 4 basic things that people have to pay attention to in learning to dance together that kind of similar to communicating together?
Well, first of all, if both of them keep a very good frame, a dance frame, because that is the connection. That is the connection of the upper body frame. When the upper body frame is connected properly, the lower body, the legs, move properly. And so it's all about maintaining that great connection. Of course, the simple thing of men always start on the left foot, ladies always start on the right. Truly, it's all about connection with the frame. And, you know, it's a very, a dance frame is very much like a good yoga pose. Now, that might sound a little silly, but when we have really good posture and keeping our arms up and away from our body and with tone, then it's kind of like our good relationships in life. If we're very passive and we're very loose and like a Raggedy Ann doll or a Raggedy Andy doll, then we're not probably connecting as well as we could with other people. And so it's the same in dance. We pull that frame up, and there's points of connection when we get together in the dance. And when those are there, we fit literally like a good glove. I mean, it feels right. And, you know, there's head position and all that. But men always start on the left. Ladies always start on the right. They're learning to move with their body from their legs and their hip region, not from pushing and pulling with the arms. The upper body is just kind of there and creates a very nice stability for the partner.
So it's funny you said it twice. Men always start on the left with their left foot, and women always start with their right. It is said that opposites attract, and once they can learn to get along properly, you know, and get their upper frame right, which in a relationship, maybe that's your brain, your head, okay, and it fits together like a glove. So, I mean, as I'm listening to that, I'm thinking, okay, that makes sense, because men are different than women, like just as different as left and right, but together,
exactly.
they make the opportunity to have a left and a right. So that's pretty neat.
And I try to, you know, we, as you said, men and women are differently, and we all think differently. And so, you know, ladies are sometimes like little strands of spaghetti. We can start at one end of that strand, and we can weave in and out and all around and come out on the other end of the strand, and we can follow that strange little changing of subjects, follow the conversation, and we're okay with that. Whereas men tend, not always, but tend to be like little waffle squares. They're very more compartmentalized. And so in that, you know, they're learning one thing at a time. And we women are out there saying, well, come on, I want to do this. I want to do a different step. And if we just kind of step back and let the guys have a chance to learn what to do with their feet, then another little waffle square, learn to do with the upper body frame to figure out how to lead us, then pretty soon that little syrup slops over into both squares and they're able to combine it together. And then everybody's happy. We're happy. You know, I tell men sometimes that, you know, we ladies don't always care what you look like, how much money you make, what you do for a living, but if you can dance, we're so happy. Because most ladies love the feeling of being in the arms of someone special. Doesn't even have to be someone special, just someone with a good frame and lead so we can just relax and enjoy flowing around the floor. Although, we women do tend to help you guys a little too much sometimes. You know, and I think that's why a lot of guys are not too crazy about learning to dance, because they're either sometimes drug around the floor by the ladies, or sometimes we can be a little bit critical of them. And so when we both step back and concentrate on our own position and our own part, and just let the other one learn at the pace they can, it all comes out working and everybody's happy. And when that, you know, you guys, as I understand it, are conquerors. You like to conquer things. All of a sudden you say, oh, I did it. I led her, you know, and it feels good to the guy. And then they start liking it better and better. And then everybody's happy.
Well, I'm not going to touch any of that information he said, okay, because
we got other
things
we could talk about.
I like to think I'm smarter than to bite on to that conversation. I could not win. But the thing of it is men out there that are listening to this show, if you struggle every year at Christmas to try to figure out what it is that you want to get your wife, because it seems as though she's bought everything under the sun and already owns more than you probably feel is necessary, a great gift for her would be to buy yourself and her a opportunity to take ballroom dancing. Now, this show airs all over the world, so I mean, I'm not saying that you should come to College Station and sign up with Susan, but if you're in that area, that would be a great way to surprise your wife, because as Susan mentioned, most of us say, no, and most of our wives really know what we're getting them, so it's not a surprise like we think. I guarantee you this one would be a surprise. So, Susan, we're running out of time, as we always do here, and I want to touch on etiquette,
yes,
which, you know, us us men that live in that waffle bite or that compartmental piece, at one time we're younger, and you do it with children all the way up to college, all the way up to adults, corporate. Can we touch on that quickly?
Yes, I'd love to, because my wintertime cotillion starts January the 28th. I do teach a cotillion for kids in the wintertime and an etiquette and dance camp in the summertime. It's basically the same material, just taught in a different format. Cotillion is an etiquette and dance class for kids, combining etiquette and manners, dining skills, and the dance course. For today's young people, learning social and life skills with both ballroom and popular dancing, and, of course, with the good manners. And they're learning respect for others. They're learning to be kind to each other. You know, to build relationships, we need respect, consideration, kindness, and that's the heart of my seminars, whether it's for kids or for adults. It's a primer, you know, a simple etiquette lesson can be used as a primer in good morals, ethics, and treatment of others. And it's all about building character, confidence, and courtesy. You know, a polite society tends to get along better. But it is amazing when I work with these young people how their confidence level builds, and suddenly their posture changes, their whole demeanor changes, because they suddenly are getting a little more confident in both just their general conversation skills, their dining skills, their dance skills. You know, these boys, when they find out that girls like them because they can dance, that changes a lot of things. And they're learning to be polite to each other and talk to each other. You know, one day when they get to the business world, they'll have to verbally communicate, and that is a skill that we are losing today. So we have a lot of fun. I do a lot of – it's very interactive. No one's bored in my cotillion or my etiquette camps. And we end with a formal ball at the end. And over here in College Station, we have the Ross Volunteers come do their saber arch at the formal ball. And, of course, we have a DJ, formal dinner, and dancing. Anyway, it's very important to me to help mold the minds of these kids. It's just a very important thing to help them learn a little better than they could have been. It's amazing how doors open for us through life when we're courteous and we have good social skills and good etiquette. I can't remember the quote, but someone said one time that we get much further in life with good etiquette than with a fantastic education. Now, the education is extremely important, but many of the doors are opened because of our courtesies and our etiquette.
Well, it surely is written in one of the oldest books around. We definitely reap what we sow. And
yes.
So, therefore, if you are nice, nice things will happen. And in a world that we live in, if you've seen the news yesterday, there was another mass shooting, and we live in a crazy place. We have children, and, you know, we buy them a $600 cell phone so that we can keep them occupied so we don't have to do much more. We have four-year-old children that are playing with $300 tablets. So it's really important for parents to figure out whether they're going to teach their children themselves or get them involved in a program where their children can be around other children learning the same thing so they don't feel as though they stand out in a crowd because they're in this class. So, Susan, we're going to have to get you back on the show because there's a lot more that we can cover. And I know that we're going to be interviewing you next month when our book launches. This month we're going to be doing radio interviews on that as well, so people can learn how they can find your book and get your learn about your story, your journey in life as well. So I want to say thank you very much for being a part of our show today. And before we exit out, please tell everyone how they can find you and sign up for your next event.
Thanks, Tony, and I really enjoyed being on your show today. My phone number is 979-690-0606. My website, www.susansballroomdance.com. That's Susans, S-U-S-A-N-S, ballroomdance.com. Email me, Susan, at susansballroomdance.com. All the information about the upcoming cotillion is on there, as well as dance classes. We do have an early bird registration that ends on January the 15th. And again, you were talking about gift certificates for Christmas. The cotillion would be a great Christmas gift for a child or a grandchild as well. So I've really enjoyed being on your show and look forward to being with you again. By the way, Tony, I might leave it with saying that did you know that dancing, ballroom dancing, has been shown to reduce the risk of Alzheimer's and dementia by 75%. There have been some studies out there showing because of using so many areas of the brain as well as the physical all combined together.
Well, that's quite interesting to find out because I'm sure that there's a lot of senior care communities that could benefit from that opportunity as well. So, Susan, once again, thank you for your time. I hope to see you next week in College Station at the networking event. If you're up there, if you want to meet Susan, all you have to do, email me, Tony, at tonygambone.com, and I'll do a personal introduction to you. And if you're in the College Station area next week, join us up there for a networking event that's going to be a little bit of fun before the holidays. Once again, Susan, thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Tony. Bye-bye.
We're going to take a commercial break, and we're going to come back with my second guest, a gentleman by the name of Darren LaCroix. He is a humorous keynote and co-author of Laugh and Get Rich. One of the things that I like about here is he has told the he said that life radically changed when he started tithing. Even though he was living with his parents when he was a stand-up comedian, if he had a $50 gig, he tithes $5. Now, I'm going to come back and touch more on that because I used to believe that if you did not show up for work, the IRS or the Lord, you shouldn't get any of my money. Of course, I've changed that tune, but we're going to find out more about that from Darren. Make sure to go to Susan's, with an S, S-U-S-A-N-S, Ballroom Dance.com. Check it out. Guys, take advantage of the opportunity to buy your wife something that you'll never think you were going to get her for Christmas. We'll be right back after this here short break.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
So you think you're tough enough for Tough Talk with Tony Gambone? Tony knows how to dish it out. Can you take it? Tony Gambone is a communicator, mentor, and entrepreneur whose tough style and generous spirit quickly garnered recognition in many a competitive arena. Now he's bringing his intelligence and knowledge to you as a hard-hitting radio talk show host and thought leader. Tune in and see for yourself. Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. It's a sure thing. To find out more, go to Tough Talk with Tony Gambone.
All right, welcome back to Tough Talk Christian Radio. And I played that commercial because for those of you that have been following the show for a while, you know that we've been doing a show, close to 7 years. And it was always Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. And this year I decided to bring out Tough Talk Christian Radio in place of it because it was just on my heart. Okay, and I really believe that the Lord brought internet radio to me as an opportunity because it allowed me to talk to people around the world and keep learning. So I've had so many emails and conversations with people that said, when are you bringing Tough Talk with Tony Gambone back to the air? Well, I can tell you, starting in January, that show will be live again. You'll be able to register for shows there. And that show was about just bringing what you do to everyone else. Okay, I'm just talking about what you do, how you help others in your life to a show. Whether you're a business coach, a life coach, a t-shirt printer, a web designer, whatever it was, we always try to find out what you're doing, how you could teach others what you're doing, and how we could help you learn more about building your business. So check that out, Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. www.tftalk.com. January 1st, you'll be able to register for the shows. We just finished up a great interview with a good friend, Dr. Susan Query, out of College Station. Learn more about her by going to Susan's with an S, ballroomdance.com. Now, my second guest, as I mentioned, did some stand-up. He's a humorous keynote and a co-author of Laugh and Get Rich, Speaker's Edge, and creator of YouTube It DVD. So without going any further, I want to welcome Darren LaCroix to the show. Darren, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm pretty excited about this. I love. I just listened to the last program, and I learned a lot about dance from Dr. Susan.
Well, you know, it's funny, man. Like, because we don't realize as guys, right? A lot of things, of course.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't believe me, ask my wife. But the thing of it is that we don't realize how to do something special that's not really such a big deal, except for in our own mind. Because when they say, oh, we're going to go take ballroom dancing lessons, I'm like, well, have a good time. You know, so but what a great opportunity to share some time with your wife or your you know, loved one or even your children. I mean, mom and dad and the kids learning to do it as well. We don't do that anymore in our world. So great stuff from Dr. Susan. Anyway, I want to talk about Darren, where you're from, where you're calling in from, and you know, so we can get a little bit of idea about you.
Certainly. Thanks for asking. I'm talking to you from Las Vegas, where I live. I grew up in Boston. I moved here about 8 years ago, and I have live events that I teach other speakers how to be better speakers. But my story is more about how I used to own a Subway sandwich shop right out of college. I've been an entrepreneur like you. I've been an entrepreneur since college days. I didn't realize I was an entrepreneur, but I couldn't work for somebody else. And I love business. It was almost like a game for me. It wasn't even real. It was just fun. And after I owned a Subway sandwich shop, and I don't want to brag, but I took a $60,000 debt, Tony, and in just 6 short months, I doubled that debt. I turned Subway sandwich shop into a nonprofit organization. And I was always a quiet, shy kid growing up, and I was literally at the lowest point in my life when my business failed, and one of my buddies gave me this motivational tape of a man named Brian Tracy, and I'm driving down the road now. I have college loans and my business loans. I had to get another job to actually pay my employees my business didn't default and I didn't default on the loan. So living with my parents at that time, I was just at the lowest point. My buddy gave me this tape. I'm driving down the road and he says, what would you dare to dream if you knew you wouldn't fail? And I thought, I'd be a comedian. How cool would that be? Make people laugh and earn a living at that. That would be the ultimate. But then all of a sudden my little doubting voice said, but that's not you, Darren. You're not funny. But that wasn't the question. And so I just figured, okay, I'm at the lowest point in my life. I really don't ever think I have it in me to be a comedian, but what I didn't want was the regret of not knowing. So I said, okay, I'm going to do this once, just once. I brought in one of my friend's wife. She brought her video camera and videotaped it. I brought my friends. I got advice from a comedian. I went to a show, and he said, go get this book. I'm like, book? There's a book about stand-up? So I went and got the book because I figured if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it right so I don't have the regret of thinking, well, I did it, but I really didn't do it all the way. So it was 1992, Stitches, Boston, Massachusetts, scared to death. Brought my friends and said, no matter what, make sure I go up there because I'm never going through this again. And it was miserable. And I'm shaking. In the video, you can literally see me shaking. I have my little jokes on note cards on the bar stool next to me. And I had so much anxiety going through my body that when I told this one joke about Dr. Robert Goddard, who had launched the first liquid fuel rocket in history in my hometown, and I was making light of that, and I said the rocket took off and it went vertically, but my body was so nervous that I actually did like this big horizontal gesture. And I realized my mistake and I was just disgusted with myself. I'm like, oh, crap. And all of a sudden everybody laughed and I looked around and I'm like, what happened? Why are you laughing? That's not where you're supposed to laugh, but I'll take it. As I walked off stage, this man put his arm around my shoulder. He said, don't worry, man, it's just your first time. remember thinking, don't worry, it's just my first time. Did you see what I did? I got a laugh. No one told me I could do this. And I never looked back. I dove in. I got deeper. I got took every class that I could, got every book that I could. And to get to the tithing part, after a year and a half, I really wasn't going anywhere. And I discovered speaking. And I thought, wow, this is even cooler because these people are sober. And they don't have to be as funny. But I was still living at home, barely making it. I worked at Bose Corporation. I was a telemarketer at that time. That was my quote-unquote day job. And I got on my knees and had a conversation with God. And I'm just like, God, I want to be a speaker. I realize I'm not a comedian. I love to make people laugh, but I really want to inspire people. That's where my heart is. And I said, you know, I don't understand this tithing thing. You know, in the Bible, it says that test me on this. And I just said, okay, so from now on, I'm going to give 10%. And it was my deal with God. I'm not saying he ever made the deal with me, but I said, if you allow me to have this and do this for a living, someday if you ever want to use me, however you want to use me, I'll be open to it and I'll know. And that was in the mid-90s. And I feel like now in my career, 9 years after that fateful day in Stitches, I was fortunate enough to outspeak 25,000 contestants from 14 countries to become the world champion of public speaking. And it was a huge thing in my life. But I still wasn't a full-time speaker. And after winning that, all of a sudden my life changed, my career changed, and people started coming to me and asking me about how to be a better speaker. And so I went from trying to be funny to helping other people with the struggle that I went through, how to learn it the hard way. And now, 12 years after that, 13 years after that, I feel compelled that the one thing that bugs me in the world is I grew up Catholic, and priests are great, but I never felt compelled by any priest. And now my Christian pastor here in Las Vegas just reached me at a deeper level, and I said, you know what, I'm supposed to take what I learned from the secular world, and I'm supposed to help pastors and people who have a message, you know, for God. I'm like, I'm being called for this now. So I taught storytelling at an event for pastors, and they were like out of their minds, excited about what I taught them. Well, they never learned that anywhere. And it's been my whole life for 20 years. So I realized, okay, now it's my turn to really give back in a place that matters the most. And I was in Poland doing a mission trip, and the pastor there found out from my pastor that I did this. And, you know, I was there just to paint or do whatever I needed. We were helping refurnish a home for a halfway house for kids over there. And the pastor said, hey, I have a group of pastors. Would you come speak to them and tell them? I'm like, of course. And like, I don't have to paint. How cool would that be? That's even better. So it was really weird because most of them, English wasn't their first language, but I just realized that just, you know, every time I take the stage, I say, ask God to speak through me. And sometimes I never know what's going to come out, but it was awesome. And I realized, okay, this is what I'm supposed to be doing now. So I'm kind of changing what I do and adding pastors and people who have that powerful God message and teaching them what I learned the hard way.
You know, Darren, yesterday you called me and you had said that you had someone helping working with you, some of your stuff, but you didn't realize that you were on our show today. Had no idea. And then you seen that I posted it and you got a reminder, and I'm like, okay, so I'd go and look up the information. You know, we chatted, and then I went and looked at the website, and I'm thinking, okay, so this guy's a comedian. So then I go all the way back to the form that was filled out for you to be on a show, and some lady filled out the form. And in your bio, it says, and I changed it a little bit, it said, Darren told me a story about how his life radically changed when he started tithing. And I'm like, oh, this is just too funny, because I lived in Las Vegas for 20 years. I worked in just about every casino out there. I opened riverboats in the South. You know, I ran Barley's Casino on the East Side over off Sunset. And I wrote a book about my, you know, 40 prior years of life that I found the Lord 5 years ago, and I had my pastor write the foreword. Well, when he read the book, he had no idea that's who I was before. So God has been speaking through me ever since. I'm a speaker, and when I get done speaking, I thank God because people say, that was great, and I don't remember what I said. So I started recording it. So now I'm saying, I'm listening to you, and I'm like, okay, so it's not a coincidence. This is nowhere near a coincidence that you're on the show today, because I sometimes start to think, am I really doing the right thing? And you have just verified my prayer for God to tell me, yeah, close that door, no. Hearing your story, it's just too similar to be a coincidence. So I had to express that, because yesterday, you know, you hung up and I hung up, and I know that I went, well, let me see who this guy is. And you're like, well, I don't know who this guy is, but I'll be on the show. So, you know, that's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was one of those God winks, if you will.
Yes. So I want to talk about some of the stuff on your website. And am I pronouncing your last name right, LaCroix?
Yes, correct. If we were in France or Canada, they would say LaCroix, but here it's LaCroix, like the island of St. Croix.
Yeah, I'm from Philadelphia, so that's probably not going to happen. Anyway, yourname.com is how people can find you, and I'm on your thing, and Brian Tracy is a favorite of mine, and one of the things I just told someone last night about Brian Tracy's quote is, you can get to the front of the line if you get in line and stay in line. Don't keep jumping out. And a lot of entrepreneurs out there, a lot of people get frustrated quickly. And the fact that you had that you doubled your debt in a Subway store in record time, well, I mean, sometimes people would think that was a trophy needed there, but it didn't keep you from continuing. And that's what's important. So on your website, you have a, for speakers out there, because I interview authors and speakers, get paid to speak. You have an opportunity for them to do that. And the 10 top speaking mistakes. And if you're a speaker, you know every time you speak, you made a mistake. The good news is that the people listening didn't know what you were going to say anyway, so that's okay, but you still need to get it better. So do you have a training on one of the things that I read about YouTube, doing YouTube videos? It says how to market with free web videos. Tell me about that.
Yeah, when I learned about, I love marketing, but I realize I write articles every week, but I'm not really a writer. I don't love it. But what I've always loved was video. I used to have my own little TV, public access TV show. So when YouTube first came out, my marketing mentor said, you got to get on YouTube. You got to get on YouTube. So, for a month, for 2 months, I'm paying him $1,000 a month to teach me. And then I wasn't following through. I'm like, okay, I just got to shut him up. I'm paying the money. I'll get on YouTube. So I put up one video and I kind of wiped my hands. Okay, I'm on YouTube. He said, no. I liken it. He said, you've got to be present. You've got to, now we would call it a social media footprint or a YouTube footprint. We go on YouTube, when we search whatever it is you're trying to promote, do we find you? What problem do you help solve? So we, you know, YouTube gives you a cool search box that you can type in. Like, so for example, when I teach people how to write a speech, so I type in how to write a speech. Well, the YouTube search box drops down how to write a speech conclusion, how to write a speech introduction, how to write a speech about yourself. So those are people who are on YouTube trying to solve problems. Well, Tony, if you and I are trying to help people, and if we're entrepreneurs, an entrepreneur is a person who solves problems at a profit. T. Harv Eker said that. I'm like, okay, we need to be present for the people searching for what we have the answer for. So I made a commitment a year when it first came out, the first year YouTube came out, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago, that I was going to put up one video a day, just one, but I was going to put up one a day. So we've got, whatever you market yourself, you've got to find that your place that you own. If you're a writer, write. If you love video, put video. So anyway, so I put, I now I didn't hit the mark of one a day, but I got so many more done, and now I have 1,000, over 1,000. I have a couple million views. I never paid for any one of them, but what I did is I put in front of people the answers they're looking for. So I liken it to, Tony, to a Krispy Kreme donut marketing plan. When you walk into Krispy Kreme donuts, the first thing you do, as you know, is you see the donuts, then you smell the donuts, then the evil employee hands you a free donut. And, Tony, what do you think that causes people to do?
I'll take a dozen.
Exactly, five more. But here's the key for entrepreneurs is that first donut's got to be so good that they want more. So my goal when I use YouTube is to help people, whether they buy something from me or not, that they've got the best possible answer to what they're searching for. And I want them to have a good donut that then they want more, and they watch another video, and they watch another video, and they watch another video of mine. And eventually they're going to want to go to my website and know more. But a lot of people are out there, they're putting videos up on YouTube, and they're crap. Well, your donut's stale. Who wants more of that?
Right.
So it's really figuring out what people want and giving them the best answer in the shortest amount of time so they want more.
Well, I'm on YouTube, and I typed in your name, and I don't know, there's 25, I guess, videos that come up all in a line. The first two are Josh Linker and John Grinder. But then it just goes Darren LaCroix and down and down and down and down. And then there's a person that appears, well, he looks different than you. You're a gentleman that shaves his head. And then there's a guy with a bunch of white hair. Guess who that is? Brian Tracy speaks about Darren LaCroix. Crazy stuff. You listen to his video, and now he's doing a video about you. So to me, I'm a big fan of YouTube. I do a newsletter every other week, and I do a little video to talk about the article I wrote down below, because people need to hear your voice, smell your cologne, see what you look like. I mean, no one's going to touch you if they can't feel you. So I'm preaching that all the time. And my question is, do you have a program where you teach people that?
How to YouTube?
Yeah, the you know, so as part of being get paid to speak, and you do that with another gentleman as well. There's two of you there, but getpaidtospeak.com. You can find out more about that. But do you sit down and tell speakers how important it is to do video and stop staring at the computer screen when you play it back and say, "That's not what I look like"? Do you explain that to them?
Oh, absolutely. A lot of people, you know, speakers, I say, how many of you want to look good on stage? And 99% of the audience raise their hand. I yell at them. I say, let it go. It's not about you. Stop it. You know, in giving a speech, I say, record yourself. And a lot of people, I see them roll their eyes. I say, oh, you don't want to listen to yourself. Well, guess what? We had to listen. What makes you so special? Feel the pain that we felt. And,
right.
And people just, you know, presenters, just like, get over yourself. Stop it. Okay? God gave you that gift. If you don't like the gift, make the most of it.
Well, a lot of times I get feedback from different types of, you know, I've been doing couple radio shows a week for almost 7 years, and I get all kinds of responses, and they make me feel good. But when I first listened to myself doing radio interviews, I was terrible. I sucked. And when I first started speaking, I felt my face get red. I knew I was terrible. But what kept me to get better was practice. So it never happens in the beginning, and the more mistakes you make, the more famous you're going to be, as long as you keep going out there. So I can't express enough how thankful I am, and I apologize that the show is out of time, but I want to get you back on. I now know how we've connected. I'm going to reach out to you off the air. I mean, we probably have sat next to many of the same people in Las Vegas. I was there from 1980 to almost 2000, and still have a ton of family out there, so I want to learn more. I'm actually going to be out there in February. I'd like to connect with you as well. So can you leave the people something that they can take and use this year or next year that's going to better them?
Well, I think learning how to tell your story, whether it's your God story or your business story, I think storytelling is the key and the essence of who we are and how, you know, you've never heard of somebody say to their kids just before bedtime, the kids say to you, Mommy, Daddy, show me a PowerPoint presentation. Tell me a story. So if you want to be a better communicator, if you want to, you know, forward God's message or your own, tell them better stories. And one of the key secrets to telling stories is to telling it in dialogue versus narration.
And right.
It's easy to say, it's hard to do, but most speakers are boring because, A, their stories aren't good, or it's narration. Narration is last week, last month, last year. It's bring us to a moment where you hear the conversation. Obviously, a little deeper than we have time for, but tell better stories. Become a student of storytelling.
Yeah. I teach networking groups, and I tell people all the time, don't tell everybody what you do. Tell them who you are. Let them make a connection with you that way. They'll follow you if they can see the Krispy Kreme donut. If they just see a business card, it's like going in that donut shop and not getting a free sample. You know, I shouldn't have one of them today. You're just going to leave. So it's really important to show up as who you are and be who you are consistently. Darren, once again, thank you, man, so much for spending time with us today. And Dr. Susan Query, thank you so much for being on our show today. So, you know, folks, it's all about building character, confidence, and being authentic, okay? Tell your story. Stand upright, okay? And just, you'll find your character and confidence just comes along with it. My name is Tony Gambone. I apologize that we're out of time. And we'll see you next week, Thursdays, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time on Tough Talk Christian Radio. Have a blessed week.
Amen.
You have been listening to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com for more information.